Hello and welcome to the Kingdom Living Now podcast. I'm Kenny Hebert, your host, and today we'll be continuing in the new series that we've been in, The Way of the Cross, The Way of the Heart. During this series, we've been going through Mark chapter 8, 9, and 10 and looking at different portions of the scripture where we see Jesus and disciples are traveling on the way to Jerusalem, where Jesus is going to give his life on the cross as a ransom for us. And in these scriptures, we've been seeing the disciples being challenged and how they see Jesus and what it really means to follow Jesus, not just externally, but internally. And looking at the going on the way to the cross is also a way of the heart, where he's exposing their heart and the need for change so they can see him clearly and see what it really means to follow him. And it's also for us to see that also. So it's really a time for us to examine our own heart in the same situations. So we're going to pick up today in chapter 10, verse 1, go through verse 1 through, I think, 16, and we'll just read verse 1 through 9 first and talk a little bit about that and then pick up on the other verses here. And he, Jesus now, left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again, and again was his custom. He taught them. And the Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And he answered them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined, let no man separate." When we first read this section of scripture I just read here, it looks like it's a really just about divorce, right? But if we think that, we're going to miss what really Jesus is talking about here. This is much more than having to do with divorce. And what happens is sometimes we read something, we see it, the first part we may think what it's about and think, "Oh, that doesn't really apply to me." And we miss the deeper point that Jesus is making here. There's something in the heart, not only of the Pharisees, but the disciples that are going to need to be healed so they can see Jesus clearly. Now, what we read in verse 1, it says that the crowds gathered to Jesus again. And it says, and again, Jesus taught them, as it was his custom. That's what he would do. And he would take time to teach them. And here we see Jesus. Now, I just want to set the picture of what's going on here. Jesus is on his way to the cross. He knows he's going to die and give his life on a cross. He's already taught the disciples that two recorded times we have before this moment here. And so he's got this burden. He knows where he's headed. He knows the suffering and the rejection that he's going to experience and the death that's going to happen. But it did not cause him to miss those in the crowd or hold back his heart or the Father's heart for them. So what does it tell us about Jesus now? See, he's on the way, and he's along the journey to Jerusalem. And there's his destination. His mission is with death. And there were people that they were also the Father's, that were also the Father's interests that are along the way. And it says Jesus saw them. He cared about them. He took time with them, and he talked with them, and he taught them to meet their needs. And here, this is a picture of the Jesus model. This is what it means to deny yourself. When he says the earlier episode says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He says, deny your self-interest. Take up your cross. Die to your own self-centered ambitions and see what God's mission is. See what God's purpose is. See what God's interest is along the way. And that's what Jesus was doing. Even though he's heading towards death, he sees the people. And here's a picture for the disciples to see, to follow Jesus. And here's a picture of what it's going to mean to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, to be like me, and see the people along your own journey in what's ahead of you. See, what blinds us lots of times is the burdens we have, or the pain that we have, or the agenda. We have this ambition, and we have such limited vision, and it kind of clouds seeing some things around us. And that's what it did for the disciples. We're going to see how they think of the children a little later here. But seeing this picture is Jesus does not miss the people, the ones that the Father's interested in. Now, who shows up in the midst of Jesus teaching the crowd? The Pharisees, they show up, and they've got a mission of their own right now. They're coming there to test Jesus. Now, Satan's already tried to use Peter back in episode 1 when Jesus first tells him about going to the cross, and Jesus and Peter takes him aside to rebuke him and try to cause him to stop going down that road. Satan's using Peter, trying to cause Jesus to stumble on his mission and turn him aside. And right now, he's trying to use the Pharisees to do the same thing, see? And the Pharisees, they walk right in the midst of the crowd, and they ask this question: is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now, the Pharisees know the crowd's there, right? But unlike Jesus, they really do not see or care about the crowd. They're blind to even seeing that. They don't even know it. Yeah, they see them physically, but they're not concerned about the crowd. They're set on their mission, their agenda, their concern is about testing Jesus. And it keeps them from seeing who Jesus really is and the Father's really his interest, which is the crowd and the crowd's needs and their well-being. Now, Were the Pharisees really looking for an answer from Jesus to clarify, to get the right answer? No. You know, all the Pharisees agreed that in the Old Testament, Moses had written down that it was permitted to divorce. Only the husband could initiate, and divorce implied the right to remarry. But they disagreed on the grounds of divorce. Now, no, so the question is why do they ask Jesus there in the midst of the crowd? They're not just testing him, they want to cause him to stumble. And it's not just them that can stumble here. The crowd that's listening and watching, this they could stumble. And this connects us back to chapter 9, verse 42 through 48, which we read previously in episodes, where Jesus warns them to be ruthless in dealing with the things that blind us, because they can cause not just ourselves to stumble and miss things, it can cause others to stumble. And if that happens, he said, it'd be better off for you to be have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea than to cause others to stumble. So how does Jesus respond to this question? He responds in typical Jesus form. Jesus turns the question back on them. He uses questions to answer their questions. Here's this picture we have between the Pharisees and Jesus. And they're human. They have this human agenda that's driving them to want to control the situation. And then there's Jesus with this God-centered agenda of relinquishing control to God and letting him determine what to do and how to respond. Jesus does not have an agenda other than to wait on and see and hear what the Father's agenda, what he's wanting to do. He has nothing to lose, nothing to gain here. So he's waiting on the Father. And I say that because there's John 5:19. Jesus tells us, Jesus said in that verse, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." So what does it mean for us to follow Jesus? It is following the Father's agenda, not our own. So to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus means we're going to try to follow the Father's agenda, trying to be in tune with him. And that's what Jesus is modeling here. He's showing that what's the Father's agenda, what's not our own agenda, not trying to get back at them. Jesus is wanting to see what the Father is doing because the Father loves them as well as the crowd. And he wants to invite them to see clearly who Jesus is also. So be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, we need to pause. We can't be rushing ahead. We need to wait, watch, and listen before we speak and act. And that's hard to do. We're in the midst of that situation, but Jesus learns to be attentive to the Father. And that's the model for us. Learn a lesson here. Don't be quick to answer questions. Wait and see if God gives you something else to do in regards to maybe asking a question back. So what question does Jesus ask, and why does he ask that? He says, what did Moses command you? Now, why did Jesus ask the blind man in 8:23, where he heals that first blind man that saw people as trees? And then in chapter 9 of Mark, verse 33, he asked the disciples, he's saying, what were you talking about on the way when they were arguing about who was the greatest? These questions Jesus asks are always invitations. It appears that to see clear, to see him. So he asked the blind man, he asked the disciples, and Jesus is now asking the Pharisees, and he's inviting them to admit that they could not see so Jesus could heal them. See, Jesus' question also was pushing them past looking at just the different interpretations that they held to for the Old Testament text. They were using their opinions about that text. They were using that to justify their position to look at what Moses commanded on divorce. And the Pharisees responded to Jesus, Moses allowed. Interesting how they word it here, because Jesus asked, what did Moses command? And they respond, Moses allowed a husband to divorce his wife and to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. Then Jesus responds back to them, it was because of your hardness of heart, your weak humanity. Moses gave you an out. See, the law that they were using to support their own self-righteous view was actually an accommodation to their human weakness. It was not given to make divorce easier. So the scripture they were using didn't really validate or support their position, but actually now was judging them. And before we put ourselves out of this encounter thinking it's all about divorce, Jesus is really getting to the real issue here. The root issue is the hardness of heart, which in this case shows up in divorce or casting the wife aside for their own self-pursuit. See, hardness of heart is this stubbornness, this pride, and it leads to being blind and not being able to see clearly what God wants us to be doing. And they've fallen into that. See, they were looking to see the scriptures to justify and have their way, not Jesus' way of the cross. And see, and in this occasion, it just shows up as divorce. And it can show up in a variety of different ways for us. See, they made themselves judges of the word and of others instead of letting the word judge them. And we have to be careful because we can fall into that too. We're human. And see, part of their spirituality was really about knowledge and debating knowledge and using it to hold above others or to try to control others or try to use others. They had the idea that having the knowledge meant that they had the reality of what it meant. And as a result, they thought they had God's blessing and stamp of approval. And Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. See, it blinded them, this mindset, this hardened heart. It blinded them to their own self-deception. It blinded them to who Jesus was. It blinded them to the people who God loved and really cared about in that moment, the crowd that they walked up and interrupted. It blinded them to who they really were called to be, God's image bearers. Now, look at this as a mirror, like ourselves. How do we ever do this? And so God's inviting us. Jesus is inviting us to come to him so that we may be healed. Now, Jesus is pushing these Pharisees to see back past Moses there, back to creation itself. And what is Jesus asking them? What was God's intent from the very beginning? Not Moses' his thoughts, not theirs or ours. Jesus then contrasts their view of marriage with God's view from the very beginning of creation. God made them, the first couple, Adam and Eve, distinctly male and female. And he says, a man shall leave behind his parents and shall be united to his wife, and the two, the man and the woman, will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. Jesus now ends his response with this prohibition, a warning. He says, therefore, what God has joined together as one flesh, let no man separate. Now, how do the Pharisees respond to this? Mark records no response at all to what Jesus was teaching. We think about divorce, but also the hardness of heart. Instead, it moves directly to Jesus' private teaching now to the 12. He moves from the crowd that's there and the Pharisees showing up, and then it's okay, he's now alone with the 12, which happens often where he's with the crowd and then they come together and he teaches the 12, and who wanted clarification of the teaching that Jesus had just spoken of. And let's read verses 10 through 11 now from Mark chapter 10. It says, in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. So here in verses 10 through 12, as I mentioned, the teaching moves from this crowd to a more private, smaller teaching moment with the disciples in a house. And Jesus' disciples they've heard him teach about the divorce and the hardness of heart thing, and they're like, what's going on here? They're asking him questions like about the subject of marriage and divorce. And it's different than what they understand and what they've been taught. And Jesus added here, if anyone divorces his wife and marries another woman, commits adultery against her, his first wife. And then there's just something that Mark adds to this that's unique to Mark. Jesus says the same applies for women who divorce. Now, these words would have been significant in Mark's gospel here. You know, he's writing, he's taken the stories that Peter has told him, what the teachings Peter heard from Jesus, and he's now sending his letter out, and it's really going to be going to the Roman readers at first. And in Rome, the law permitted for the wife to initiate divorce also, not just the man. And though it wasn't allowed under the Jewish law, under the Romans, they could do that. And so he's applying this teaching to either one. Whoever separates, whoever severs the divorce and then severs the marriage with divorce and remarries commits adultery. And within this setting of the discussion on marriage and divorce, Mark also decides to place this occasion of Jesus blessing children, verse 13 through 16. And see, in Mark chapter 9, Mark has Jesus using the children to teach the disciples and us a lesson. And then here, it's as if Mark places the story here purposefully, intentionally, to call the attention to the least and the powerless among them. And who's going to suffer the greatest from divorce? Or rather, as a root cause, hardness of heart. Because we have to remember, it's not just about divorce. It's what brings about the decision to divorce, the hardness of heart, wanting our own way, having our own agenda, and looking in the Word to justify what our decisions are. And that's a hardness of heart. And what it does is it results in blindness from seeing the kingdom and seeing God's way of doing things and seeing God's value and who God values. And here, it's the children, those who are powerless and those who seem to be insignificant in that culture. See, children were a picture of the weak, of the powerless, of the voiceless, and the hardness of heart doesn't see or consider the impact on these little ones. And these children really are too, is also a picture of chapter 10, right? Verse 1. It's a picture in the natural of the condition of the crowd that's along the way that Jesus sees, and they come to him again, and Jesus stops to teach them again and be concerned about them and see. It's a picture, the picture here of the children that now are showing up and Jesus is blessing them. It's like it's a picture of in the natural of the greater community that are seen as a weak or voiceless, as insignificant. Those are pushed to the side, those that are really held to have little voice at all. And he wants us to see the value that that God places, the Father places on those, not just the little ones, but those in the community that are seen as voiceless, powerless, insignificant. And see, the hardened heart of the Pharisees did not see them. And the disciples weren't seeing the ones that Jesus valued right in that moment there also. And if we go back to it, we're to go back to verse chapter 8 rather of Mark, verse 15, Jesus gives a warning to the disciples. And he kind of says, he cautions them, saying, "Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." See, people are bringing the children, which is a picture of the crowd that Jesus was encountering earlier in verse 10, excuse me, chapter 10, verse 1, and where the Pharisees did not see them. The crowd came to Jesus. He's looking to bless them. He's concerned about them. He's looking to minister to them. And the Pharisees didn't see them. And here, the people are bringing children, and the disciples rebuke them, and they don't see the significance or the interest, the significance they are to Jesus. It's so important to see the culture of the time there. See, the children were loved, but were not necessarily seen as having any significance or importance. They were generally seen as of being socially powerless and having no political or economic power, and at the same time having no intellectual power to grasp the spiritual truths. And at the same time, within that culture, they saw the kingdom as something that was achieved by force. So people would not have seen the children nor the crowd from chapter 10, verse 1, as needing this kind of attention that Jesus was giving them, when there were more important matters at hand that the children would only be a hindrance for. Now, this is one of the rare moments that Jesus is indignant when the disciples are rebuking the children here. And he's greatly displeased with his disciples. And see, Mark doesn't soften the human emotions of Jesus at all. And nor does he hide the failings of the disciples so that we can see ourselves and our need for grace and healing. Earlier, the Pharisees missed the crowds and their significance to Jesus and the Father because of their hardness of heart. It wasn't about divorce, it was the hardness of heart. And here the disciples are missing it also because their perspective about marriage and divorce, and they're still wrestling with that in their own head, and that wrong thinking is causing them to miss the significance of the children and what Jesus is doing in that moment. And there was a warning that Jesus gave them earlier in Mark chapter 9, verse 42 through 48, that they should have picked up on at this moment when Jesus is blessing the children. I want to read that from verse 42 through 48 of chapter 9. It says, Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown to hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. See, in verse 14 of chapter 10, back to that, it says Jesus, he's contrasting their view, the disciples' view about the kingdom and how it comes by power and force. And Jesus is saying the kingdom does not come through power and influence, nor does it come to the powerful and influential. God gives his kingdom rule, his kingdom blessing as a gift to the humble and through the humble. And apparently the insignificant and what seems to be unimportant who come to him in simple childlike trust and dependence. Jesus goes on to say in verse 15, I tell you the truth, whoever will not receive God's kingdom as a gift now with the simple trust of a child will never, never, it's an emphatic negative there, never enter it. He won't see it now, nor will he take part in its future blessings. What is Jesus saying here? See, God's kingdom is not gained by human achievement or human merit or human status or human power or human wealth. It must be received as God's gift through simple trust by those who acknowledge their inability to gain it in any other way. And then we see in verse 16, we see the overflowing love of Jesus, the benevolent heart of the Father's love for children, the weak, the powerless, the voiceless, those who are considered to be insignificant or unimportant. This is what Jesus came for and what he calls his disciples to. But the disciples in their insensitivity were preventing the children from having Jesus' blessing and preventing Jesus from giving what his heart wants to give them. No wonder Jesus is indignant. He's displeased with the disciples. So earlier in the beginning part, we look at the hardness of heart of the Pharisees, which caused them to be blinded to the people that Jesus was concerned about. And they're missing that. It's even blinding them to their own self-deception of trying to use the word to get their way, not God's way. And in the second section of scripture, we see that the disciples, in their prior time before Jesus, they've been influenced by the Pharisees and influenced by the take on divorce, that they're asking him questions. But because of that, they also miss the reality that kind of thinking affects the least of them, the children, who Jesus has a heart for, and he says the Father has a heart for. And so their hearts have been blinded of seeing what they're doing by trying to stop them from encountering Jesus. And Jesus is inviting the Pharisees, inviting disciples, and he's inviting us to look into the scriptures here and see, is there a hardness of heart in us that's causing us to miss who God is and who God is concerned with and those around us, and we miss what God's interests are. And the disciples are the same way. It's in what seems to be insignificant to them. Are there things we're missing because of our way of thinking about God's ways are different than his, and we're missing what's of God's interest, what's important to him, what's significant right around us. Remember, God is weaving this story, his greater story, around our life. And he wants us to be a part of it, just like Jesus lived his life, knowing that he had a part in God's greater story. And he's living it out in those moments as he encounters people and sees people. His heart is for the Father. And this is about seeing Jesus for who he is, the Messiah, seeing his ways, and taking up our cross, or actually denying ourselves first, our self-interest, and taking up our cross, dying, laying down our selfish in agendas and ambitions, and take up the same model Jesus has, is looking for those that the Father's interested in, and allowing his love to flow through us for others to encounter Jesus. And that means we're going to have to lay down ourselves, we're going to have to deny ourselves, take up that cross, and follow him in his way. And so look at this and I encourage you, is ask God, is there something I'm missing in my life? Is there something that's hard in my heart? Is there some way I'm using the scriptures to try to get my agenda that's really not your agenda and your interest, God? Have I been influenced by some thinking or teaching that's hard in my heart that I'm missing the least of these? And this is not to be a time of shaming yourself that if you may be in those places. See, this is an invitation from the Father to come to Him. Jesus calling us, come and let Him work in our heart to bring healing to us so we can see Him more clearly. And in turn, see His interest around us more clearly. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening today, and I hope that you enjoyed the episode. You can learn more about this topic and others by going to my website at kingdomlivingnow.org. That's kingdomlivingnow.org. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to me through the website. If you're interested in having me speak at any of your gatherings, whether large or small, contact me through the website. Until next time, be blessed.